It's time to join the American Family Robinson again in Centerville. The stockholders of the Centerville Herald have decided that unless the paper can make up its deficit of $6,000, it will have to stop publication at the end of the week. And editor Luke Robinson's life work is threatened with destruction. His son-in-law, Dick Collins, and young Bob Robinson are doing their best to soften the blow for him, and they have taken upon themselves the responsibility of saving the Herald. Editor Luke has called his whole staff together in the newsroom of the Herald and is facing the difficult task of telling them of the Herald's situation. As we tune in today, Editor Luke has just come into the newsroom with Dick and Bob beside him to face his employees.
Say, Dad, yes? Can I do this for you?
No, thanks, son. No, this is my job. I'll be all right. I'd like to talk to all of you for a few minutes. We have some things to discuss which won't be pleasant. And if I have difficulty in saying what I have to say, you must forgive me. It isn't easy for me to acknowledge that I have failed in my responsibilities. For 20 years, I have tried to be the kind of employer for whom I would like to work myself. You've made that easy for me. You've been loyal and faithful. Among you are those who have been with me for all of those 20 years, who have built the Herald bit by bit, whose lives have been bound up in our common aim. That we have been successful in our mutual efforts is proven by the fact that the Herald has produced something valuable to the community. It has paid its debts. In return for your faithful labor in its behalf, it has given you security and a fair financial return for 20 years. I'm not going to try to gloss over what has happened or make it seem any better than it is. Unless something very unforeseen happens, the Herald will stop publication at the end of this week. I'm not going to make excuses for the Herald or for myself, but I would like to make plain just what has occurred and why. Most of you are aware that in its good years, the Herald, like any other well-run business, laid up capital to carry it over any emergencies which might arise. During the past trying years, that capital has made it possible for the Herald to carry on, but the strain upon it has been increasing. I don't have to point out to you the growing high cost of doing business, the drain of increasing taxation, the fact that business in general has had to move cautiously in the face of uncertainty. That, of course, has reflected upon us. To sum it up, our capital couldn't stand the traffic.
Couldn't we run on a deficit? The government does.
Unfortunately, there are no taxpayers upon whom we could levy for the next few generations to pay it back. No business can run that way.
Gee, boss, I thought business was getting better. It says so in your editorials.
It is, Gus. That's the most tragic part of our situation. If we could hold out a little longer, there's every chance we could come out of the woods. But it looks as though we're not going to be able to bridge the gap between now and then.
Well, boss, could I say something now?
Of course, Gus. It will help me a lot if you'll all ask me any questions you like.
Well, of course, I suppose I shouldn't be getting up here in this meeting. I don't know as much about business as all you guys. I ain't been here so long that I ought to speak my piece.
Now go ahead, Gus. What's on your mind?
Well, as I get it, if the Herald could carry on a while longer, we might be able to stay out of the boneyard.
That's right. But in order to do that, we'd have to operate without expenses and get out of a $6,000 deficit. If you have any ideas about how to do that, trot them out.
Well, I can't offer much help about the $6,000, but speaking for myself alone, I think the Herald is owed something by me. I was took in out of the wet, you might say, and now I'd like to show a little gratitude by sticking with the paper. I'm willing to stay on here till the crisis. That's what it is. It's a crisis. Till the crisis is over. And without no salary, I would like to contribute my services. Of course, $10 a week knocked off the payroll ain't exactly going to put the paper back on its feet.
Gus, I can't tell you how proud I am that you've made me that offer, even though I can't accept it.
Well, Dad, I'll work without pay, too. And I'll even take over the switchboard, too. Well, I can run it as well as someone I know.
I'll volunteer my service.
No. Now, wait. I can't do that. You've already done more than your share, all of you. And if the Herald can't pay you, it's going to do everything within its power to make it possible for you to get paid by somebody else. Nothing that you could have done or said would make me feel as proud of my association with you as that you are willing to stick by the paper even when it's failed you. But the offer is enough. I can't accept it.
Oh, but boss, if we want to do it...
Now, don't, Gus. I can't take any more. The only thanks I can give all of you is to assure you that I'll do everything I can to place every one of you. And I can give you the highest recommendation in the power of any employer. I can answer for your loyalty and devotion. Any of you who wish may have all the time you need between now and the end of the week to do what you can. And I offer every help in finding other and, I hope, better places. And now I won't say goodbye. I can't. But I hope each of you will come to my office between now and the end. It's open to you anytime. That's all.
I never thought my job would do this to me.
Listen, buddy, the job ain't doing this to you. This is the best job you ever had, see what I mean? And Mr. Robinson is the best boss. And if it's gone fluey, it ain't no fault of the job nor him. You get me?
I ain't arguing with you. Robson is swell, but I can't go...
I know it's tough, buddy, but the Herald ain't licked yet. Even if the boss says it is, we got lots of time before the end of the week for miracles.
Miracles? What do you mean? Do you know something?
Well, not exactly, but I bet you I can think of something before the end of the week.
Well, boy, you'd better start thinking. The way I look at it, it's going to take something to pull the Herald out of this.
Wait a minute. Don't go yet. Shut that door, will you, Joe? I've got something on my mind, too. Mr. Robinson has had a terrible blow, and he's taking the whole thing on his shoulders. I don't think it's fair that he should. I think it's time for us to do something to save our jobs. He's been saving them for us for years. But it's going to take all of us working together to do it. Now, are you willing to make a try at it?
Sure. What are we supposed to do?
Well, I haven't formed a definite plan yet. But Bob Robinson and I are going into a huddle to see what can be done. And if you will all meet us here tonight and bring suggestions of your own, we'll get somewhere.
Sure. What time? What's the use?
We don't want anybody in on this who doesn't want to come and work. But we'll meet the rest of you here at 8 o'clock.
What are you going to do, Dick? Rob a bank?
I won't have to unless you guys go back on me.
Hey, Collins, I think I ought to be on this private conference. I think I might be able to give some valuable suggestions.
Sure, Gus, stick around. We're having our conference right now.
Say, Dick, did you hear what Dad said? And the only thing it'll save is operating without expenses and wiping off the deficit. How in the heck are we going to do that? I mean, we might be able to dig up $6,000, but operating without expenses...
Well, as I see it, we've got to get a loan from somewhere. Big enough to cover the deficit and operating expenses over a long enough period to make the paper pay again. And that's going to be a mighty big loan. The bank is out. We've tried that.
Why, say, I could fix that. But Scarlatti, he's a pal of mine. He could loan us anything up to $100,000 and not even feel it. There, I knew I had an idea.
No good, Gus. This is a business proposition, and I'm afraid Butch Scarlatti isn't quite the man to have a controlling interest in the Herald. Newspapers have to be careful about things like that.
A controlling interest? Hey, Dick, you're not thinking of selling the paper out. Why, Dad's had the controlling interest all these years.
I know, Bob, but we may have to. Our problem is going to be to find someone fit to take over the controlling interest. Preferably someone who will leave Mr. Robinson with as much authority as he has now. And I think I know who the man is.
You mean you've already got it, Dick, the loan?
No. But if we can give him a good proposition, I think it won't be hard to get Mr. Markham to loan us the money.
Markham? Why, gee, of course. Oh, we should have thought of him right away. Why, Dad did as much for him, and they're the best of friends. Markham's doing swell now. I heard Dad say so. Say, let's call him up right away.
Not yet. We haven't got our proposition fixed up yet. I'm not going to ask Mr. Markham to do it just out of the goodness of his heart. I'm going to make it worth his while to do it. He's a businessman. And even if he were willing to do it out of friendship, he'd have a right to expect a profitable return on his capital.
Yeah, but what kind of proposition? The only thing we can offer him that I know of is my silver cup I won.
Well, there's them stocks I bought in Mr. Jason's new factory.
No, that's not the kind of thing. We've got to show him how we're going to make the Herald pay. We've got to prove to him that it will pay. That's our biggest job and the thing we have to do first.
No, we can prove it's always paid up to now.
That's not enough. We've got to show him that circulation is going to increase. That advertising is going to increase. All of us will be in on that. The biggest and fastest circulation drive that's ever been seen. And a lot of new ads coming in. We've got to make the Herald over into a good investment in a week.
Whew. Looks like a big order.
Well, is this a poker game or a conference?
Oh, Betty, for Pete's sake, we're busy. We're talking business.
And that's what I thought you'd be doing. And I'm declaring myself in.
No, for Pete's sake. We don't need any women. We don't want them. Women just make things worse than ever. I hate women.
Oh, I gathered that. From the way Dot McKillicuddy spoke of you when I asked where you were. Must have been a swell fight.
That dame.
Come on in, Betty. I'll admit you to the conference. We need all the brains we can get.
Thanks.
This is Gus Olson.
Not the Gus Olson. Oh, I've heard so much of you from Uncle Windy.
That guy.
Well, what's the plot, children? Have you discovered how to save the Herald? And where do I come in? I am in, you know.
You're in for ideas. Now, we've got to the point where we're going to have a big circulation and advertising drive.
Yeah?
And then borrow a whole hunk of money from Mr. Markham, proving to him that we're a good investment. Now, if you were just an ordinary person...
Ordinary?
I said if, my darling.
Oh.
If you were the lady of the house...
Yes.
And I came to your door and tried to get you to buy a subscription to the Herald,
mm-hmm.
What would make you sign on the dotted line?
Well, of course, if you came to the door, I wouldn't need anything else to make me sign. But if Bob, for instance, came, I'd want to know if the paper carried all my favorite recipes, radio programs, and news about radio stars. And a good, snappy, lovelorn column.
Yes, but we've got those now. This has got to be something new and terrific.
Terrific, eh? Well, what is it makes people rush out to buy a paper? A story about their worst enemy or their best friend? Or I know. A person would buy any paper that had his name in it. No one could ever resist seeing his name in print.
Well, we've got our letters to the editor department.
Oh, I know. But most people don't like to sit down and write to the papers. Most of them are convinced that their letters will get no further than the wastepaper basket. Now, if you could ask each person to contribute something special...
Hey, wait a minute. Betty, that's... Say, how's this?
What?
We'll have a column.
Yeah.
Call it the Reader's Column. And ask everybody in town to contribute each day. About three readers will make up the column. They'll get the paper to read their own, of course. And then they'll subscribe to compare their column with those written by their friends.
Yeah,
oh, sure, sure. And we could have a tie-in with the radio station to have the best contributions read on the air, and we could keep it going.
Uh-huh.
We wouldn't ever run out of contributors or subscribers either. Why, we could go right through the town directory and then go back and start over.
And it would make a darn interesting column. Betty Collins, if I had my hat on, I'd take it off.
Not bad for a girl, sis.
That's very good. I couldn't do better myself.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We'll get every member of the staff to go around after office hours and ask for contributions and subscriptions. In a week, we can cover the town.
And I can do it, even during office hours. I'll bet I'd be a swell contact for the public.
Well, you can't go from door to door, Betty.
Can't I? Say, whose idea was this? And you watch me going from door to door. And if I can't beat the lot of you getting subscriptions, I'll go back to my knitting without a murmur.
Will Betty's scheme work? Will the Save the Herald Society get enough subscriptions to make the paper a good investment for Mr. Markham? Join us in our next program and see what happens. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett and produced by the National Industrial Council.